helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Those words from Santayana should be a warning. Germany in the 1930s was an example of people voting for tyrants. That's right, before Adolf Hitler became a tyrant, he started out as a candidate. And he, along with many others, took what power they had and expanded it. They ignored the laws restraining them, and they plunged the world into war. In America today, we routinely elect tyrants, men and women who expand on their legitimate powers, who ignore the laws restraining them, and very well may plunge the world into another war. Now, current events show that America and the world is following the exact same path set forth in the 1930s by Germany. Am I expecting a new Nazi party? Not exactly. But I do see its equivalent growing fearfully powerful, tyrannical, and vindictive in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel, and this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Sometimes we do it by looking at our past. Sometimes we just look at the current events in the news to see what happens if we do not study the supreme law of the land and live free. Now, I had planned on doing this program before the recent finding that the FBI had raided former President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, and I'm still digging through some of the data. I'm not trying to be first on this. I'm trying to dig through the data to see what's actually there. But I found it very interesting that the very day I planned to record this, I found out that the FBI is acting more like the Gestapo. Or at least that's what it appears to be. So I'm not going to go into detail on that quite yet. I'm still, again, looking for more research, more data. I want to give you good quality content. But I do find something very interesting. You see, we tend to think about Nazis as a political party. And we want to kind of associate that with political party in America today. But I don't see it as a party problem. See, this is probably the thing that is different from the 1930s. See, this isn't simply a political party taking power. This is a movement taking power that happens to have a political party as part of it. What do I mean? Well, it's this idea of they call themselves progressives. What they really are regressives, but they call themselves progressives. And this idea that we need to progress towards something, we never seem to ask, though, what are we progressing to? But as we see power being accumulated in Washington, D.C., as we see the states not only giving up their power, but even being willing to enforce what power they still have, I see this centralization of power amongst not just the government, but its allies in industry, in the media, in academia, to come together to create this enormous organ of government that wants to control every aspect of your life. And the reason I don't associate with a single political party is because, well, guess what? Every political party does this to a certain extent. Now, I've already mentioned, I'm not going to get into Trump and Mar-a-Lago quite yet, but do remember, it was Trump that created the Operation Warp Speed that led to the bullying of the American people to take an experimental injection. It was President George W. Bush who instituted the Patriot Act and the TSA and the invasion of your privacy and your ability to simply live your life without government intervention. It was expanded under both Democrats and Republicans. Of course, you have Obama with the Affordable Care Act. You have Biden with the mandates left, right, and center. These are all examples of how it's not the political party that emulates Germany in the 1930s. It is Washington, D.C. itself. It's the entire government. And we have more and more examples of this beast getting off its leash and running amok without any controls on it. Well, take, for example, former Attorney General Eric Holder. He was Barack Obama's Attorney General. He's being interviewed by, Joe Madison on Sirius XM, and he said, "My guess is that by the end of the process," by the way, he's talking about January 6th, "by the end of the process, we're going to see indictments involving high-level people in the White House. You're going to see indictments against people outside the White House who are advising them with regard to the attempt to steal the election. And I think, ultimately, you're going to see the president, former president of the United States, indicted as well." Now, Mr. Holder is in allowed his own opinion. I don't have a problem with that. But I find it the height of arrogance and hypocrisy to see an attorney general who was found in contempt of Congress, but not prosecuted, who lied to Congress, who lied to the American people, who instituted illegal acts of entrapment and was never charged, calling for indictments of people who demonstrated outside the white, outside of Congress, as they saw their election violating the presidential election violating the Constitution of the United States. Now, yes, some people did trespass. Some people did commit property crimes. But he's talking about indicting a former president of the United States for telling people to peacefully and patriotically protest the election. By the way, this is the same Eric Holder who had no issues. He didn't want to prosecute members of Congress who challenged the election of Donald Trump. He didn't go after members of Congress who challenged the election of Barack Obama. See, this is why I say in America, we no longer have a justice system. What we have is just a system. Because if you are affiliated with the right groups, hey, you can get away with anything. You can commit arson and vandalism in the Capitol of the United States with impunity if you happen to be associated with BLM or Antifa. But if you're questioning the validity of the electors because they were chosen in a manner other than the chosen by the legislature of the states, we're considered an insurrectionist, and you must be prosecuted. See, this is just more and more evidence. We saw it under, Obama trying to get his IRS and Department of Justice to pressure different entities to prosecute people who were political opposition. See, going after and locking up the political opposition is not the land of the free. But we've seen it before. Yeah, we saw it in Germany in the 1930s. We saw it in Russia and China, or I should say the Soviet Union, communist China. We see it actually today. It's something you'd see in Russia. It's what Putin does. And that's what's happening in America today. Now, you may call it fascist, authoritarian, dictator, but that is what America is becoming today. If you are supported of a certain political movement. And again, I'm not simply talking about a political party. I'm talking about this political movement of a centralized, all-powerful government. Well, then they look the other way whenever possible. You can lie to Congress. Hey, you can even put out a dossier full of lies, have it found to be lies, initiate years of unjust investigation, spend millions of taxpayers' dollars, and then go out on a book and speaking tour. But if you stand up and say, no, I'm not taking that injection in my arm. I am not going to be a medical experiment. No, there are presidential electors who were not legally appointed. They should not be counted. No, for that, you must be jailed. And according to some reports, not simply jailed, you must be stuffed in the equivalent of a gulag without sufficient food, without medical care, without access to counsel or private access to communications with your counsel. And let's not forget, the FBI apparently meddled with a Michigan gubernatorial election. Remember, they were entrapping people, trying to entice them to attempt to kidnap a sitting governor just before the election. You have the January 6th committee targeting Pennsylvania Governor Mastriano for attending the January 6th rally. Not saying that he committed any crimes here. He simply showed up. Again, meddling in gubernatorial elections. And let's not forget the FBI meddling in the 2020 presidential elections, suppressing, ignoring, finding people who falsely claim that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Except now we find, again, more evidence that not only was that laptop actually Hunter Biden's laptop, but we have now emails confirming that now President Joe Biden, then candidate Biden, obstructed justice, at least according to certain claims. I mean, you have President Biden, now President Biden, then Vice President Biden, on video bragging about interfering in a prosecution in a company that his son worked for. Where was the investigation into that? In July of 2021, Biden's Department of Justice delayed an investigation into Hunter Biden's laptop, well, to avoid taking any actions that could alert the public to the existence of the case in the middle of the presidential election and effectively interfering with the presidential election. You have multiple FBI whistleblowers saying that both FBI and DOJ officials used deceitful assessments of the Hunter Biden laptop in order to discredit as false the claims that it was actually his. And then we have recently released information that the Department of Defense wiped iPhones from senior Trump officials to get rid of the January 6th communication. The information that about the communication is now gone because the Department of Defense and the U.S. Army wiped the phones. Now, you have to understand, watchdog group, I believe it's called American Oversight, 6 days after the Capitol event, submitted a FOIA request for all communications between Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the Army, a whole group of people about this event. But the Army said, well, when employees separate from the DOD or the Army, their cell phones are routinely wiped, even though the data on those phones was still subject to a FOIA request. And this is hot on the heels of the revelation that the Secret Service deleted text messages related to January 6th. Why hiding all the data? Why is this information not open to the public? How can you have transparency? How can you have justice when the defendants are denied access to evidence? So you have to understand, it's not simply that the information is not available to the public. You see, you have a right to confront your accusers and to confront witnesses and to have a compulsory process for obtaining witnesses, and that would extend into evidence. But how can that happen when that evidence is being destroyed? See, now you never know. Could there be information from those texts that exonerates many of these people? Maybe. Could there be information that incriminates many of these people? Again, maybe. We'll never really know. But it certainly looks bad. It certainly looks corrupt to have information of such import, you know, such an important time in our history, simply disappear. Information that one side is looking for simply magically disappear. Where have we seen this before? Do you remember when Hillary Clinton had confidential information on private servers in her home and it suddenly disappeared and nobody did anything about it? See, most of you may not realize that the Equal Protection Clause is only applied to the states, but the idea of equal protection of the laws is supposed to be inherent in this idea of justice, of due process. Due process is not simply, well, we followed a process. No, it must be due. It must give you what you are owed. It must protect your individual rights. And what we're seeing more and more is a government that is destructive of your individual rights, including your right to obtain justice, your right to confront your accusers, your right to petition the government for a redress of grievance, your right to peaceably assemble, your right to not be coerced, to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects, to not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. We are seeing a government that is destructive of its very purpose, to secure our rights. And that when a government becomes destructive of that purpose, well, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. The question is, will we fix this government before our only choice is to abolish it? Or will we simply sit back and watch like the Germans did while the Nazis turned their once beautiful land into a tyrannical cesspool and its own dystopian nightmare? Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, I have a question for you. Do you sometimes have a hard time falling asleep? I do when I travel. My wife does quite frequently. And we found this really great supplement that helps. It's called REM Sleep from Healthy Cell. It helps us fall asleep, stay asleep, so we can wake up refreshed and ready for the day. REM Sleep supports all four stages of sleep with a simple supplement that is, it's gel-based, which means it's easy to travel and it's easy to use. Now, all you have to do is go to healthycell.com to find it, but as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 20% off your first order. Just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to healthycell.com, try any of their products. I'm recommending today the REM Sleep because it works. It works for my family. It works for me. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout, and Healthy Cell will give you 20% off your first order. So don't miss out. Again, go to healthycell.com. Use the code OUTLOUD to get 20% off your first order, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cell's pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Surely if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and we're looking at just how much America and the world in 2020 resembles Germany in the 1930s. And we're asking the question, are we going to follow the same path as they did? We talked in the beginning about the using the federal government, the means of the federal government to attack American people. That it's not simply a political party. It's not the Democrats, or it's the Republicans as well. How big government has grown to be its own entity. Call it the swamp, call it big government, call it whatever you want. But we have more and more evidence of FBI and Department of Justice, how they meddled in the 2020 election, how the DOD and the Army is working to withhold data from the American people about January 6th, and we're still going. Now, I've talked about this before, but how many of you realize that the FBI has what they call their Domestic Terrorism Symbols Guide? This is a guide. This is things to look for if you know you think someone might be a domestic terrorist. Or as I like to call it, a militia violent extremist. Now, I always find it interesting, right? We've given militias a bad name, but we have militias in the Constitution to protect us. But in the eyes of the FBI, what makes you a violent extremist? How about flying, well, let's just say the Betsy Ross flag. You know the red, white, and blue with 13 stars in a circle? Yeah. According to the FBI, you fly the Betsy Ross flag, you might be a militia violent extremist. You fly the Gadsden flag, right? The Don't Tread on Me flag. You might be a militia violent extremist. Or if you fly the Gonzales battle flag, the Come and Take It flag, you might be a militia violent extremist. This is the FBI not simply targeting speech. This is targeting our history. Because the Betsy Ross flag, the Gadsden flag, the Gonzales battle flag are all symbols from our history about freedom from a tyrannical government, about liberty from an all-powerful oligarchic government. And according to the FBI, if you exhibit any amount of independence and freedom, you may just be a militia violent extremist, which means, guess what? President Obama and President Biden may just be militia violent extremists. Well, because both of them, during their inaugurations, they were sworn in under the Betsy Ross flag. It flew from the U.S. Capitol. So maybe it's the U.S., maybe it's the entire Congress. Congress is a militia violent extremist because they flew the Betsy Ross flag. Or how about the state of Virginia? Are they all full of violent militia extremists? Because, well, state of Virginia has a license plate with the Gadsden flag on it. Now, what do all of these flags have in common? What do all these symbols have in common? What is the FBI truly afraid of? It's afraid of people who are not afraid of the FBI. It is afraid of people who put the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, above the federal government. That, in their mind, makes you a violent extremist. You are dangerous to the swamp. You are dangerous to the federal government if you think there is anything higher than the government. If there's anything the government is restrained by, if there's anything the government is limited by. That, in the mind of the FBI, makes you dangerous. And if you display that information, well, you may just be a violent extremist. Interesting how the people who seem to be the most dangerous and violent extremists are the ones warning about people who challenge them as being dangerous, violent extremists. Now, many of you may have looked to cryptocurrency to prevent yourself from being attacked by those at the FBI and the federal government. You know, get away from the federal monetary system. And some turned to silver and gold, some went to cryptocurrency. Now, I've not invested in cryptocurrency, and I have reasons for that that I'm not going to go into detail here because they're not really germane to the subject. But one of the reasons I was concerned is if Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency ever actually becomes a viable competitor to the U.S. dollar, you can be sure the federal government is going to try and regulate it because the last thing the federal government wants is competition in anything. So as cryptocurrencies have gained attention and gained interest, well, sure enough, the federal government's trying to create what's called a central bank digital currency. Now, I don't know about you, but you should be terrified of this. This should be a no-brainer, ain't no way, ain't no how. What do I mean? Well, you may have noticed over the years that the federal government is really trying to crack down on cash. They really don't like cash because cash is anonymous. You can't track cash transactions. It's one of the reasons why the federal government wants to know if you deposit sums of cash in your bank account. Originally it was, what, $10,000, then it was $5,000. Congress tried to lower that to $800 because the federal government wants to know each and everything that you're doing because, well, they're tyrants. They want to know what's going on. If they can't know what's going on, they can't control what's going on. But of course, people push back against those regulations. So they said, oh, we'll just come up with a digital currency. Now, if you understand just a little bit about how these cryptocurrencies work, let me give you just a really brief description as I understand it from my research so far. You have a thing called a digital wallet. It is a set of encrypted data that identifies you specifically. And in the blockchain, which is where digital currencies generally keep their ledgers, is in a blockchain. That account has a value, just like a bank, right? Think of your digital wallet like the old passbook. When I was a kid, you used to have a passbook for your savings account. And the idea is simple. When you go to do a transaction, you identify who you're sending the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency to, how much you're sending them. And the system looks at the ledger, deducts money from your account, and puts it in the other person's account. Pretty straightforward. What happens when the entity that is controlling that digital currency, though, is the federal government? Or let's say a federal government spinoff, like the Federal Reserve. What happens when the federal government knows each and every transaction, right down to buying a pack of gum, because you're using a digital currency? Now, that should be worrisome enough, right? Because, you know, well, but if you're doing nothing wrong, Paul, why would that be a problem? What happens when what you're doing isn't illegal, but it's disfavored by the current oligarchical group in charge? What happens when you're going to buy, say, a firearm or some ammunition? Tisk, 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 and you're not allowed to do that. We don't want you buying that AR-15. Sure, it's not illegal, but we're not going to let you use our cryptocurrency to do that. What happens when you go to the fast food joint and the cryptocurrency says, nope, we're not going to allow that transaction. You've had too much McDonald's this month. See, people say, well, that's ridiculous, Paul. That would never happen. There's nothing that stops that. See, the nice thing about gold, silver, and cash is that you can transact business without Big Brother watching every move you make and then getting in the middle and interfering with it. What happens when that's not, you know, but we all use credit cards, right? We use credit cards because they're convenient. Some of us use them, you know, some people use them for their credit aspect. Some simply use them as a convenient way of doing business, credit and debit cards. What happens when that's your only choice? When you can't take out a couple $100 in cash and go buy something? What happens when the government gets to decide what you can and cannot spend your money on? See, that's very hard to do as long as cash is available. But when you have a digital currency controlled by the federal government, how long before there's a regulation that says, we're going to get rid of cash, we're going to move all to a digital currency? And you must use a digital currency. You're not allowed to go to the gas station or the grocery store or the hardware store and use cash anymore. You have to use the digital currency. Think it never happened before? Remember 1971? When all of a sudden the government said, you know what, we're going to get rid of gold as a standard for our dollars. Our dollars aren't going to be backed by gold anymore. Gold is heavy. It's hard to deal with. We're just going to get rid of it. How long before they just get rid of dollars? And all you're allowed to use is crypto dollars. I mean, it's not like we've never seen the federal government actually, trying to run people's lives. Happens all the time, ladies and gentlemen. The Senate just passed an estimated $740 billion package to regulate, more healthcare and the climate. They worked long and hard through the night to put this all together. But I'd like to point out something to the American people. Healthcare, managing healthcare, is not a power delegated to the United States. They've ignored that in the past, and they're just going to ignore that in the future. See, this is what I'm talking about, where they simply expand via a whim their powers, just like the Nazis did. I remember when the Affordable Care Act was being debated in the House, and a reporter asked Speaker Nancy Pelosi, where in the Constitution is the federal government given the power to do this? And her response was, are you kidding me? This is what a tyrannical takeover looks like. We're going to ignore the law. We're going to keep ignoring the laws. And as long as the trains run on time, and as long as there's bribe money coming from the government, we'll just keep electing these people over and over and over again. And back to the old trope, how can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. Well, one interesting part of this legislative package has to do with a 15% minimum corporate tax. Now, remember, this is being pushed not simply out of Washington. This is being pushed by the UN. This is an international push to get all the countries to have a 15% minimum corporate tax. Why? Because people who run corporations are not stupid. And they will go to the places that are most beneficial to them financially. If it means lower taxes or taxes on fewer things, they want to go there. Well, the tyrants don't want that. They don't want you to have a choice. They want you to be under their thumb. But there's a problem with this. See, they went further. They didn't just say, okay, corporate tax is going to be 15%. Fine. According to Americans for Tax Reform, what they're literally doing is saying, if you have a company, let's say you're a small to mid-sized business and you sell shares, you have equity shares in your company. Well, if you have a equity company that owns a certain amount of those shares, well, you're considered a subsidiary of that company. Kind of interesting. Congress is going to rewrite the definition of words. So again, if you are an entrepreneur, if you've got a business and it's growing and you sell interest, equity stake in that company, either through a capital venture or some other ways to raise capital, well, now you're a subsidiary of a larger company, which means you're bigger than you actually are, which means you get to be taxed more. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, here's the other interesting part, and I'm waiting to see this, because there's an interesting maxim in the financial world. I've heard it lots of times. What you want more of, you subsidize. What you want less of, you tax. So I find it interesting that Chuck Schumer and others say that this bill will not increase. It'll actually reduce the deficit. We're going to borrow roughly $740 billion, right? An estimated $740 billion. But somehow, taxing companies out of business, encouraging them to move their money elsewhere, to shelter their money, is supposed to offset that. I've heard this before. And you know what? It never works. Do you know what does raise revenue for the federal government? Cutting taxes. It worked under Kennedy. It worked under Reagan. It worked under Trump. Every time they significantly cut taxes, revenue to the federal government, in other words, the amount of dollars of taxes that came in, went up. Now, that may be counterintuitive initially, but once you realize you cut the rates, people spend less time hiding their money, they pay more in taxes. The economy grows, more people paying taxes. This is a good thing. But what we see here is the federal government saying, nope, here's what we're going to do. We're going to further take control of the healthcare system, the one that has done so well with COVID. And we're going to assume that the United States can save the world through a climate bill, completely ignoring the fact that China, India, and many third world nations, they don't care about that. They care about feeding their people, about keeping them warm or cool, depending on what climate they're in. See, once again, we see the government in Washington is not concerned about the Constitution. They're not concerned about the rule of law. They're simply concerned about ruling, about taking power, about dictating to the American people how they will live and what they'll be allowed to do. Just like people we saw back in the 1930s. And we're not learning our lesson. Because now it's not a political party. It's an international movement. Now, I'll talk a bit more about that after the break. But before I do, I want to remind you that AmericaOutloud.com has a lot of good information that you may find useful. Stories, articles, podcasts, videos, all sorts of resources that you can use. More importantly, that you can share. See, it's more important than ever that we take this information and share it because, well, the mainstream media, the corporate media, the corrupt media, depending on what you want to call them, they're not doing it. They are complicit with hiding what the FBI is doing, hiding what the CDC has been doing, covering up for, well, certain political actors, covering up for what the federal government is doing to steal your rights from you. So do me a favor. Every day, go to AmericaOutloud.com, find those resources, and then share them and help us secure the blessings of liberty, not just for us, but for our posterity.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
You know, one of the things we should have learned after World War II was that following orders was not a good enough reason. You remember the Nuremberg trials and how many soldiers simply said, I was following orders. Following orders to commit crimes, to kill people, to torture people. No, that wasn't decided. That was not good enough. But we should have learned from there that, yeah, tyrants will often take the military. Because let's face it, the military is trained to follow orders. And they will use them to their own ends. But what happens when people stand up and challenge what the military is doing? Now, I found this article on Epoch Times, and it was really kind of interesting. It involves a Major Samuel Sigaloff, who is a doctor. And he was, back in August, he was sent an email from another officer, the plans officer, to others about a meeting. The email said that it was some information on the subject of tomorrow's threat working group. Do you know what that subject was? Dr. Sigaloff. according to the email, they formed a threat working group to deal with Dr. Sigalov. Now, why? I mean, he's not accused of making any threatening remarks. Why would they do this? Well, there are people who think that they're trying to send a message to signal Dr. Sigalov that the military's out for him. See, what Dr. Sigalov was doing, again, he was seeing patients and he was granting exemptions to the military's COVID-19 vaccine mandate, the quote-unquote vaccine mandate. So there have been plenty of stories about how the military has been derelict in granting exemptions to these mandates for religious or medical reasons. Well, Dr. Sigalov was not one of those. He was granting these exemptions. Now, since then, Major Sigalov has been attempting to leave the military, to leave the Army. But the Army refuses to process his resignation, at least according to his lawyer. You see, it appears that the Army is rather frustrated about the fact that Major Sigalov has exposed the corruption of the process, the violation of federal law, of the Uniform Code of Military Justice that the Army and the other branches of the military have been following in regards to this COVID-19 fake vaccine mandate. You see, that's what happens when individuals stand up if they are not supported. They're attacked. Because it's easy for a large entity, an organization, especially one as large as the Army or any branch of the military, to come down on the individual. But what happens when other people stand up? See, it's not simply Major Sigalov. Marine Major Nick Harwood went through a board of inquiry and was found guilty of conduct unbecoming an officer for maintaining his religious convictions and refusing the COVID-19 vaccine, quote-unquote vaccine, which, by the way, is his right under both federal and law and the UCMJ, because the quote-unquote vaccines are experimental drugs. And he has the legal right to say, no, I won't take them. Now, if we had a true justice system, this board of inquiry would have looked at the fact that the COVID-19 vaccines available are not FDA approved. Therefore, under UCMJ, nobody in the military can be forced to take them. They can't be coerced to take them. But they don't. It's a farce. It's a joke. It's a kangaroo court. What happens when that spreads beyond just the military? You know, secret FISA courts and secret FISA warrants. What happens when these kangaroo courts are in the shadows, when they're not open to the sunlight, when the people can't see what's being done in their name? There's also been 130 Coast Guard members who are sued in federal court. They have a class action lawsuit alleging that their religious exemptions were denied illegally by the Biden administration, by the military under the Biden administration. Now, they're expecting this class to grow. And it's interesting because, according to the complaint, they challenged, first of all, they, among other things, challenged the constitutionality of the mandate itself. But according to the complaint, back in August 24th of 2021, under the DOD vaccine mandate, the military is supposed to offer medical, administrative, and religious accommodations requests to the mandate. But it appears the Coast Guard, along with other reports from the Navy and the Army, simply ignores that. It says, oh yeah, but we're just not going to issue them. We're not going to issue the mandates. And in this case of the lawsuit with the Coast Guard, they claim that in practice, only if you have a medical or administrative reason will they give an exception. If you have a religious one, well, you're not. It's denied. Now, that's a violation of the freedom of religion, the free exercise of religion. This truly would be a First Amendment issue. By the way, it also violates the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was meant to support the First Amendment. And since the president is the commander-in-chief of the military when they're in service to the nation, that means this falls right in Biden's lap. Meaning, whether he did it intentionally or it's simply his policies or he just didn't deal with the problem, guess what? You have another situation where, well, we don't care about the law. We're going to get what we want. Now, again, this is a back and forth. This is not a full-fledged run towards one direction. Because you remember, the Supreme Court said, hey, guess what? There is no right to an abortion in the Constitution. Therefore, we were wrong in 1973 when we decided in Roe v. Wade, we're going to overturn it. And we were wrong in 1992 when we found Planned Parenthood v. Casey. So we're going to overturn it. So the people can decide. And I love this idea, right? It's the people should decide through their elected representatives. A very democratic process. Or more accurately, I would say a very Republican process, right? Where the people exercise their power through their elected representatives. But you see, I find it interesting that the party that claims to be for democracy doesn't like the democratic process, at least when they don't get their way. So it really shouldn't be surprised that the Biden administration is very upset with the court. Well, Biden signed another executive order, and he's trying to get you to pay for abortions. See, under the order, the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services are to consider actions to advance access to reproductive health care services, including, to the extent permitted by federal law, through Medicaid for patients traveling across state lines for medical care. That's right. Your taxpayer dollars being used to fund abortions at the federal level in violation of the Constitution of the United States. Because guess what? The court was right. Federal government has nothing to do with abortion. Regulation of abortion is not a federal issue. But when you let a government entity, when you let any bureaucratic entity grow and grow and grow beyond its legal boundaries without any challenge, they tend to keep growing. And they tend to ignore little things like, law or the people or anything that kind of gets in their way. Now, one of the other things that we saw in Germany in the 1930s was the rise of the acceptance of racism. I'm not saying racism didn't exist before the 1930s. It obviously had, but it became more and more acceptable. In fact, it got promoted by the government. You had the master race, which was supposed to be great and pure. Others like, Jews and gypsies and whatnot, they were subhuman and they could be treated differently. Now, where do we see this in America? Well, we see it in the push for critical race theory, the 1619 Project, where once again, if you are a black person or if you are not white, well, you're pure as a wind-driven snow. But if you're a white person, even though you have treated no one differently, even though you've done nothing wrong, if you're merely born white, well, you're considered an oppressor, regardless of anything you've done, all based on race. Now, we've had decades of this racial quotas and other processes that, in the name of helping these races, actually, in many cases, have hurt these races, has damaged them tremendously. Everything from the way from welfare to admissions practices, affirmative action, they've all done tremendous damage to the very people this government and these organizations claim to help. Well, now the chairman of the House Education Committee, along with 64 others, are suing in federal court to maintain, quote unquote, race-conscious admission policies at Harvard University and the University of North Carolina. See, a group called the Students for Fair Admissions has petitioned the First Circuit Court of Appeals to overturn a case called Grutter versus Bollinger, which found that race-conscious admissions policies were fine for higher education, that you could use race as a determining factor in the admission policies, even for state and federally funded schools. Now, this lawsuit's going on. The chairman of the House Education and Labor Committee, a gentleman by the name of Bobby Scott of Virginia, filed a brief asking SCOTUS to uphold this action, the affirmative action. He says in the brief, using a race-conscious admission process, quote, dismantles segregation and enhances educational opportunities for all Americans. Except that's exactly wrong. See, it doesn't dismantle segregation. It creates segregation. Because for every entity you give an extra hand up to get into this, to a university or any group, you must, by definition, exclude someone else based on their race. If you're going to admit people based on race, you're by definition excluding people based on race. Further, creating animosity between the races. Now, if they truly want to enhance educational opportunities for all Americans, well, they would start by dealing with our crumbling public school system, our government school system that in many locations are churning out people who are not prepared for, be it college, university, for trade school, where you have dropout rates over 50%, where you have illiteracy rates over 50%. If you want to enhance educational opportunities, fix the educational system. But no, it's much easier to just come up with this racist process to make it look better. See, we have more students on campus. You never ask, are those students getting good outcomes? Are the students that got in with a lower GPA or lower SAT scores, but were allowed in because of the color of their skin, do they succeed in those schools or not? That question never seems to get asked. It never seems to get answered. And what happens to those students who are admitted simply because of the color of their skin, if and when they cannot do the work, if they've not been prepared to not only study at that level, but to do so independently? How does that give them a better educational opportunity if they drop out of a school because they weren't qualified for it except by the color of their skin, when they could have gone to another school where they were prepared and either prepared more for the better school or simply decide, this is what I want to do? Now, yes, America has a history with race. Slavery was a fact. Segregation was a fact. Jim Crow was a fact. But the answer to segregation and racism is not more racism. It's to realize, okay, let's stop judging based on race. Let's start looking at people based on their needs and their abilities. Because the more we focus on race, the more we encourage people to judge others based on race. And the more we create race hatred, which leads to more segregation. Why do you think we have so many schools that are introducing race-segregated graduations, that have race-segregated clubs? It's not because the races were denied access to these schools. It's because they were told the way to get into these schools is by focusing on your race, on the color of your skin. So what can we do? I like to leave you with, so what? What do we do? Well, the answer, I believe, to a lot of this is first to recognize that our justice system is horribly broken. It is possibly beyond repair. I'm not sure if it's beyond repair. It certainly is critically ill. That our federal government is corrupt. That many of our state governments are just as corrupt. But that ultimately, they are corrupt because we keep sending corrupt people to exercise our power in our name to these locations. I had somebody ask me just the other day, said, Paul, if the justices of the Supreme Court have violated their oath of office, therefore engaging in bad behavior, which is justification for them being taken out of office, why are they still there? And the answer is simple. See, the only people that can impeach a federal judge are the representatives of the people in the House. And we keep hiring cowards that are not interested in doing that. You see, the ability to get liberty and freedom means government must be small. As government grows, liberty and freedom get smaller. That means we the people must stop being dependent on government. We must stop asking government, especially the federal government, to fix all of our boo-boos, to take care of us, to protect us, to feed us, to wipe our backsides. We need to be free people. If you wish to be independent, you cannot be dependent on government. And if you must ask government for everything, anytime you ask government, you're being dependent on government. That was the problem the Germans had in 1930, is they were convinced that the government would make them a great nation again. And it led them to destruction. Today, too many Americans believe the government will lead us to be a great nation. And they are leading us to our destruction. Because what made America great is not the political party, it's not government, it's not the dependency. It was a free and independent people, ability to try different things, find out what works, ignore what doesn't, and it created the greatest nation this world has ever seen. And we're watching it being dragged down the drain because we can't be bothered to do stuff for ourselves. Now, do me a favor, please. Let people know they can hear the Constitution Study weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to us on podcasts. You can find all the links at the homepage of AmericaOutLoud.com. Do me a favor, share them and share the blessings of liberty to all Americans from sea to shining sea.